Okay, today is Thursday, October 11th, second day of the month of Mar Cheshvan. This is the women's Chumashir. It was delayed, postponed from Wednesday to Thursday. We're up to Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishit. Okay, Rabotai, I want to dedicate this year to Liora Feinberg's mother, Miriam Rhoda Bas Yitzchak V'Chana Ziso, who was an incredible person. Got to, met her many times here in Shul. An incredibly vibrant personality. When she was in the room, you knew she was in the room. Survived the Shoah and raised beautiful children and grandchildren. So our learning should be le'ilui nishmata. And she'll be fighting the Ribbono Shel Olam for whatever she deserves. Even what I'd like to do today is share with you, read with you, learn with you a chapter from Rav Yitzchak Breuer's contributions to Sefer Bereishit. He was one of the great Chumash teachers of a decade ago and many, many decades ago. And this particular unit tries to look at the opening of the Brit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes with Avraham and trace it from the time that God issued blessings to Adam HaRishon, then to Noah, then to Avraham, then to Yitzchak, and then Yaakov, that he notices almost the identical dialogue between Adam, Noach, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all take place, and obviously some of the differences, and the point of departure is what we're at the beginning of studying, the mitzvah of Brit Milah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes with Abraham. And as we pointed out last week, one of the main changes in our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the name change. The name El Shaddai appears for the very first time with Avram and God in the context of the Brit Milah, and we already offered dozens, at least a half a dozen interpretations as to what that phrase means and why it was introduced by Avraham. So as a result, he uses this as a point of departure as well and has a different understanding as to why God employed El Shaddai with Avraham at this point in time. So we're going to read a variety of excerpts of this particular article and then try to understand what direction he's trying to take us in. So if you look, so I told you already his thesis. We're going to compare God's dialogue with Adam, Noah, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So we start with, on page number 359, we start with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directing his attention to Adam. This is chapter 1, verse 28 in Parshat Bereshit, which we learned. Vayivarech otam Elohim, vayomer Elohim, Elohim, pruvu umilu et haaretz v'kivshua. God issues a command to Adam and Chava that they should be fruitful and multiply and populate the land and conquer it. Try to gain control over the natural world. The natural world. Try to master it, to dominate it. It's something that mankind has still been struggling with, as evidenced yesterday or the day before by Hurricane Michael, and it seems like every month there's another disastrous hurricane that you have to deal with. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his power by doing so, that as technologically advanced as we claim we are, nonetheless, there are a lot of things that we cannot do at all. So this becomes the first bracha. And despite the fact that God creates everything, he actually says, the psalmist tells us, we read it, we sang it for 9 days on Simchat Torah, we said it 2 days yesterday, Rosh Chodesh, Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem, V'haaretz Natan Bnei Adam. God created everything. However, determination of the ownership of the heavens remains in God's domain. However, that which unfolds on earth is our challenge. Natan l'bnei Adam. God's gift to man is that we are challenged to be kovesh, mil'u et ha'aretz, populate the land, v'kiv shuha, try to establish some dominance over it. What did Kivshuha mean at this particular time? So look at the paragraph which starts the second one paragraph, not the one right after the verse, the next one. B'shtei habrachot ha'eleh hivteach Elohim et kiyumo shel adam b'chol zman u'michol makom v'rak achakach kava et yachas adam el kol shar hanivraim hashalit oto al balei chayim u'mosar lo et mizono min hatzomeach. What God gave Adam HaRishon is that there is somewhat control over the animals, and they did not attack him, didn't attack him, and that his food will only be from that which grows. Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat meat. And for 10 generations it remained that way. Only mazon min ha-tzomeach. Then what happened? The next paragraph, he tells us, well, this promise or hope that God had expressed to be pru revu and umil u et haaretz came to a grinding halt with the mabul, where every one that God had created has already been eliminated. So this land, at the time of the Mabul, not only did it not have Pru Urvu, it didn't have Umilu et Haaretz. Even amongst those who survived, the Noach and his children and their wives were not capable immediately after the Mabul to conquer the land. It was uninhabitable. And the Torah in Parshat Noach, which we learned, told us how long it took for the waters to recede. At that time, it took 150 days from the time the rain stopped until Noah has the opportunity to leave the Teva. Before that, there was so much water still collected around that umil uet haaretz cannot take place. And what else did Adam? What else did Noah not do? He did not fulfill pru revu during the course of the Mabul. That's why in this week's Parsha, we are told that Noach is to enter the Teva in the following fashion. Noach and his sons, and then Noach's wife and his daughters-in-law. They come in separately because they understood or were told, we're not 100% sure if God issued that edict or not, but they understood or they were told that it would be inappropriate to be fruitful and multiply at that time, and therefore they separated themselves until the land had dried up. And now, go to page number 360.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. There were no people. God never asked anybody to conquer. You mean to conquer the world?
Yeah.
I know. That's why Pruvu always goes first. First Pruvu. Then when you multiply and so on and so forth, then you can fill Milu with the Aretz. At this particular time, during the Chet Hamab, during the Dor Hamabel, nothing had neither Pruvu nor Milu with the Aretz. But as soon as they get out of the Teva, God appears to Noach again and says, "Vayivarech Elohim et Noach ve'et banav, vayomer lahem pru revu milu et haaretz." Nearly the exact same words that God had said to Adam and Chava are the exact same words which Kadosh Baruch Hu is now appearing to Noah. And the name that the name of God that is used in the context of this blessing is also identical. It's Vayavarech Otam Elohim. It is the God who stands for the world of nature, who stands for the world of absolute din. Absolute din. There are catastrophic results if you decide to ignore his whatever he asked you to do. And under those circumstances, we are now told. And at the end, look at the end of the last paragraph, the next paragraph. V'habracha chotemet ke'ein petichata. The bracha given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Noah ends in a similar fashion as it opened. Pasuk Perek Tet, Pasuk Aleph, it said, Vayivarach Elohim et Noach, Vayivarachem Pruvu. And now in Pasuk Zayin of Perek Tet, it says, Va'atem Pruvu Shirtu Ba'aretz Uruvu Ba. We want you to have children, multiply, and thereby you'll be able to conquer. And this is a very interesting phrase that the end of the bracha is similar to what? To the beginning. This is a principle which Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the people, the men of the Great Assembly, who developed the text of the davening, they use this principle in formulating the Amidah. They use this principle. For example, in the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, which is called Givurot. Givurot. Powerful things which God does. So what does it start? Atagi bar le'olam Hashem. What is the first thing which we recognize, in which we recognize God's power? Mechaye meisim ata. You have the capacity to revive those who have passed away, whatever Tchiyat HaMeisim means. Then we say, you're Michal Kel Chayim, B'chesed. You feed people. What else does he do? Right? Somech Noflim, Verofei Cholim, Umatir Asurim. He releases those who have been imprisoned. He heals those who are ill. Yet, at the end of the bracha, what do we say? V'ne'eman ata, Lahachayot Meitim. The end of the bracha is similar to the opening phrase. The opening phrase is Mechaye Meisim Ata. So the concluding phrase is Mechaye Meisim. I'll give you another illustration. In the bracha of Hashivenu Avinu L'Toratecha. Hashiva Shovtenu Kivarishona. What do we ask for? We ask for a lot of things in that bracha. We ask for the restoration of the Sanhedrin. Hashiva Shofteinu, our judges. But then it also asks for something else. V'haser me'aleinu yagon v'anacha. Please God, remove all suffering that we have experienced. Yagon and anacha. Anacha means to sigh because I am so overburdened by what's happening. Please remove that. But yet, it goes back and concludes with what phrase? V'tzadkenu b'mishpat. Please let us, what? Have the capacity to judge with tzedek, with either tzedek righteousness or perhaps tzedakah, two ways to interpret it. So again, the Torah, the author of the bracha introduces multiple themes, but the beginning and the very end are remarkably similar. That, according to Breuer, was where did they pick up that formula? They picked it up from the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his brachot does the same thing. He begins his dialogue with Noach as they exit the Teva with Pruvu Milu et Haaretz, and they conclude the Atem Pruvu Shirtzu Baretz Uruvuva. Yes.
Before we leave this pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
Could you comment on the parallel between this and the pasuk at the beginning of Shemot that says "Bnei Yisrael karu v'yishrutzu v'yirbu"?
Yes.
The exact same words v'yatzmu b'mod me'od.
Correct.
Alei ha'aretz otam.
Good.
Why is that?
That is no. He mentions that
okay.
that is the real fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Dafka in slavery.
Dafka out of Israel and in the context of slavery. They had not yet been enslaved, but the pasuk says, Paro vayishutzu vayivamamon. Before,
right.
After that, what did Paro say? Then he said, we have to have a plan for these guys because they're going to overpower us. Right. So then he moves on and he writes, in the next paragraph, in the next pasuk citation, here comes a difference between Adam and Noah. With Adam, it was only the blessing itself. Nothing else. By Noah, in addition to the blessing, there is a covenant that is established. What does it write in Pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Tet? V'hakim oti et briti etchem. I will establish my covenant with you. What does that covenant state? Lo yikareis. Kol basar od b'nei hamabul, no other person will drown or will die as a result of a mabul. V'lo yeod mabul l'shachet ha'aretz. There will never be another flood that would destroy all of mankind. There will be floods, plenty of them, that will ruin and eliminate segments of the population, but not the entire civilization as we know it today. And he gives them a sign, provides a sign for them that the Brit will be fulfilled. And everybody knows it's the Keshet. The rainbow is now the Brit between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael and the world, not just Am Yisrael, and the world, that the activities of his subjects on this world have been less than pleasing to him, and in theory, perhaps they deserve to be eliminated once again, and as a result, in order to show them that I made a promise that I would never eliminate them, that rainbow appears for us to see and hopefully mend our actions so that God will not come up with another plan. Yeah, I promised no Mabul, I'll get rid of him some other way. But the world actually deserves, whenever there is a Keshet, either segments of the world or the entire world deserves to be eliminated based on what's happening here.
So if a Brit is unilateral on God's part, not contingent on...
That is correct. That's the difference between a Havtacha and a Brit. In a Havtacha, both parties have the obligation to fulfill their respective clauses in order to see and witness the fulfillment by the other one. So if I make a promise, I'll do this if you do this. Well, if you don't do this, I don't have to listen to my promises. But by a brit, you have to. A covenant means I will honor my commitment despite the fact that you are not honoring your commitment. And that's the uniqueness of a bris. So God he did honor his brit. He never, ever again destroyed the entire world, no matter how corrupt the world happens to be. He did honor it. He did honor his commitment. But that's 100%. Yes.
The fact that the word kivshuha is only used with Adam and not with Noah.
It's a good point. It's a good point. His theory is not 100% accurate. You're right. By Adam it says v'kivshuha. By the other ones it just says, you know, yirdu or... It's a good point. It's not exactly the same. Correct. Now, when did this charge to Noach become fulfilled? So the Torah at the end of this week's Parsha, you'll pay attention to Shabbat, you will see at towards the end of the parsha, the Torah enumerates lots of names and lots of children. If you have your Chumash here, look at chapter 10. Perek Yud.
The tail end of Parshat Noah, and the Torah writes, the Eile Toldo in chapter 10, at the beginning of chapter, the Eile Toldo b'nei Noah, Shem Chom and Yefet, v'yivogu lehem banim achar avavu, b'nei Yefet, Gomer, Magog, Mada, Yavam, Tuvol, Meshech, Matiras. And throughout an entire list of all of the children of Noah. And then in the middle of chapter 11, look at chapter 11, verse 10, it lists Eile Toldo Shem. Here is a list of all the people that Shem gave birth to.
So the Torah is describing these names, which most of them have very little meaning and significance to us. We have no knowledge about any activity that takes place during their time. Nothing. Zero. Nonetheless, it is a fulfillment of the promise of Pru Urvu, Beshir Tzua Ta'aret. Yeah. Yeah. And it also tells us that this actually led to Nifritzu Hagoyim. Yeah, it says look at the last Lamed Pasuk of chapter 10, verse 32. The last Pasuk Lamed Bet of chapter 10. Eile mishbechot b'nei Noach l'toldotam b'goyehem. These are the descendants of Noach. Umeile nifridu hagoyim ba'aretz achar hamabul. And through them, nations developed throughout the entire world after the Mabul. And Chazal believed that there were 70 nations created. No, it doesn't say that in the text, but Chazal claimed that there were 70 and Noah fulfilled whatever he was supposed to do. Now comes page 361. 361. And Rav Breuer identifies the pasuk which we are studying right now, beginning of Perek Yud Zayin. God says to him, "Ani El Shaddai hitalech lefanai ve'yetamim ve'etna briti b'ni u'b'necha ve'arba otcha b'modno ve'hifreiti otcha b'modno unetaticha legoyim u'melachim imcha yetzeyu." So here, although it's not exactly the same language, Avram is being told that you are going to multiply greatly, v'hifreiti otcha b'mod me'od, unetaticha ligoyim, and I will give you as a master over other nations, as a leader of other nations, umilachim imcha yetzeyu, and kings will emerge from you. However, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he tells him later in verse 9, Vayomer Elohim el Avraham, Vata et Beriti Tishmor. Whatever I'm going to tell you now is going to be accompanied by a Brit. That is Brit Milah, which will be described later on in this particular parak. However, there is something that is missing from the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Avram as opposed to it having existed in Noah and Adam HaRishon. What phenomenon is missing or added? What phenomenon is added in this fulfillment? And what is missing? What? Kel Shaddai is number one. It's not Vayomer lo Elohim, Ani Elohim, Hitalech lefanai ve'yetamim. And what else doesn't it say? Yeah, I know. But what else doesn't it say that appeared by... No, this is like Behifreti Otcha is proof. That's the same word. I will let you multiply. But what is missing? What always came after Pruvu by Adam and Noah? What after? Good. Milotas and also Vikivshua. To conquer the land doesn't appear in relationship to Avram. Why? Because Avram's covenant is going to include not the whole world any longer. But what is Avram's covenant specially? What land will he be getting eventually? Eretz Yisrael. And that is not what?
Noah doesn't say Kivshua either.
Okay, but it says, it does say Milu is Haaretz. Does it say Milu is Haaretz? Yeah, so that means not only to fulfill the land, but to conquer it. It's a good... No, by... Good. I'm not... I don't know. I say, whenever you have these major theories, there are little holes in all of them. But why is there no charge to conquer the land which he's being given? Why is there no... Because who is going to be to recognize the fulfillment of this promise? No, but who's going to be... Which generation is going to be witnessing, experiencing this conquest of land? So we learned that earlier. Dor Rivi'i Yashuvu Heina. Only the fourth generation from you. Hence, what is in Pasuk Chet, how is this land described? In Pasuk Chet, V'natati lecha ulizaracha acharecha, eight eretz migurecha. What is your relationship to this land at this particular time? You just happen to what?
To live there.
I live there, that's it. But I don't necessarily control the land yet. And eventually, it's eight kol eretz kinaan la'achuzat olam. Achuzah is something that becomes
possession
and inheritance for your family. You control it. But right now, Avram is not getting control of the land. And it's manifest many times later on in the Parshiyot that he has to buy something for a piece of land to bury Sarah and a variety of other things. The Plishtim steal the wells, they stuff the wells. Always a couple of episodes. So how does Breuer interpret the name El Shaddai as it applies to Avram? It means the God with Avram who will suffice, not with what? Conquering, not to conquer the whole world, but a much smaller piece of territory that is included in El Shaddai. Shaddai again, Avraham suffices not with mastery over the entire world, but only Israel. Plus, something else is taking place with that was not mentioned before. Look at the last phrase in Pasuk. Look at Zion and the last three words in Chet. Tell me what is common between Zion and the last three words in Chet. What idea did not exist by Adam and Noah? That God is what?
God is in charge of everything.
No, but that's not what's happening here with Avram. He's going to be our God. Up until now, God's role in this world was he was the master of everything. No favorites. He didn't play any favorites with Adam or any of the people with whom Noah gave birth to. All of those people, this guy, the other guy, Omer, Gog, you know, Timnah, whoever it is. God is the God of all of them. Here with Avram, he makes a special relationship with Avram, and therefore claims Rabbi Breuer the name El Shaddai, meaning it's enough for me, says God. Shaddai Li, that I will now express my unique relationship with Am Yisrael, and not necessarily that same type of relationship with the rest of the world. And that happens to be true. Chazal see that as well. It's not that God forfeited his control, his reign over the rest of the world. God forbid, he did not. But he certainly did establish a unique relationship with Avram, and it will be further manifest by his children and grandchildren. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I don't feel that I have to become the personal guide and leader of the entire world. It will be enough for me if I have what? Just the loyalty of what? Of Am Yisrael. I'm going to ask them to do lots of things. Rest of the world, I'm only going to ask them to do 7 things. This bunch of kids, 613. Yes?
But in Abraham's Bracha from Hashem, he says that Ata Ekriti Tishmor, he's actually engaging Abraham, and by that he's engaging all the rest of us, that we actually have to be active in completing and performing this brit with Noah. He's not saying that. He's just saying, you're going to see the brit that I made.
Correct.
But when he's saying, Ekriti Tishmor,
however, he's challenged. He's asked. A brit always has 2 sides. The only difference is, do you have to keep your promise if the other one fails to keep theirs? So yes, we are obligated to engage Tishmar, the covenant of Brit Milah. We have to. There is nothing else that is designated as the symbol. However, theoretically at least, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to keep his promise to be our God, and whatever that means, despite the fact that we don't engage in circumcision. Despite the fact.
And that's why we call the Am HaNivchar.
Correct. But an Am HaNivchar, he will write later on, means the nation that has been given responsibilities. That's what it means. In that respect, we're Nivchar. We're not singled out because we're such geniuses or we're the nicest people on the planet. We have greater responsibility than everybody else. Yes. What is that?
I always thought that Shekhai meant for future, because in other words, it's our responsibility then to bring the other nations. God's stepping away almost from that. It's our responsibility to bring the other nations. I always thought that that's not going to happen until Shekhai meant.
That probably is true. Probably.
But there's a sense of future to that.
That is. That's. Okay, how do you see it in the words of Shaddai? You're right, in Elena we use that, b'malchut Shaddai. L'taken olam b'malchut Shaddai. How do you see the future?
The way I was always thinking about it was that Israel will do their job to make other nations think that God will be enough.
Okay, that's nice. It's a very nice interpretation.
So what else? What else? Are we just being asked to, as Jews, as Israeli descendants, to just do what God asks us to, and the hell with the rest of the world?
No, that's what Shari just pointed out.
I'm asking.
But he says that you are spoke, when it says in the phrase, Unetaticha ligoyim, in verse 6, look at Perek Yud Zayin and the quotations that he quotes under Pasuk Vav. V'hifreiti otcha b'mod mod unitaticha ligoyim. I will give you to the nations. What does that mean, I will give you to the nations?
I will make you.
But it also means I'm going to give you as a guide for all the other nations. Okay, move to page 362. And here, in this paragraph, in the first part, it would start with the word ulam. He's going to explain further why it was necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a proper name as he identifies himself in relationship to Avraham. Ulam, shinui hashem eino noveya rak me'etzem ha'uvda shenishtana. The different name does not emerge simply from the fact that there was a change from Noach to Avram. Kiviyachol ma'amar Elohim. Elohu noveya gam me'ofyo shel hashinui hazeh. It emerges as a result of the qualitative change that may have taken place. Kol od ho Elohim hu Elohei kol ha'aretz. As long as God was recognized as what? As the God of all of the people, ain't sorech lotet lo shem klal. There's no necessity to give him a name. Sharei kol hashemot hapratiyim, all of the other names of God, ba'im lahavdil bein atzamim shonim shel sug echad. Every other name of God besides Elohim is designed to teach you about a different aspect of God. Keneged ze ain't zorech latet shem prati leetzem shehu yachid besugo. Elo dai lo b'shem hasug. If God has no favorites, just operating as what? The same God for everybody, so just calling him God, Elohim. Elohim is the name which was used to create the world. Bereshit bara Elohim. It means God as creator of all. You don't need any other of the many names of God in order to identify him, because he is not expressing himself in any other fashion other than Elohim. However, once God decided to introduce another factor in his leadership and control of the world, what factor did he contribute? Did he consider? Did he just create that he's going to establish a personal relationship with Am Yisrael above and beyond everybody else? So now it becomes necessary for God to have like a personal name, a personal friendship name. It's not that we're all plain human beings. Am Yisrael has a different status. And in order to recognize that different status, God shares with us another dimension of his personality as reflected with the name at this time, El Shaddai. Up until now, no reason to introduce anything, because his mastery, his exposure to the world was uniform. He appears to everybody in one way. I am master of this world. I created it. I can destroy it. I did destroy it. I will rebuild it. And that's it. But once he establishes a personal relationship, it is incumbent upon God to reveal himself somewhat differently than he does with the general name of Elohim. Yes?
I think what he might be referring to, and I'm not a grammarian, but I see this here, that he's talking about a common noun or a common noun versus a proper. In other words, the generic God, there was only one God. So
right.
God really included a set of only one. As there were more peoples, as there were more gods, you had to differentiate and include proper nouns. Which God? Which people? I think there's a grammatical aspect to it.
Okay.
I
hear what you're saying. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Can you answer? Maybe.
Sure.
Why is he picking Abraham to create?
So that's a different question. He hasn't addressed that. We've seen already many Midrashim and others, and God himself eventually tells us why he selected Avram. It'll be in Parshat Vayera. God's own words, why he selected Avram. Moving on to 363, he said, hey, what do you know? Whatever God said to Avram, he also said to Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Yes.
Look at page 363 on the top. That's chapter 28, verses 3 and 4. Ve'el Shaddai yivarech otcha v'yafrecha v'yarbecha. V'hayita lekahal amim, v'yiten lecha et birchat Avraham lecha ulezaracha itach, lirishtecha et eretz migurecha asher nosan Elohim liAvraham. So he has the component of El Shaddai, he has the component of Yivarechotcha v'yafrecha v'yarbeka, and you will be a multitude of nations, and he will give you, Yitzchak, the bracha that he gave Avraham. What the bracha did he give Avraham? Besides that which was just cited, that you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, which for you too will be only what? Eretz Megurecha. You'll be living there, but you're not going to have total control over it. Then, the next segment of Psukim, chapter 35, is God's words to Yankala. Ani El Shaddai, pray Urvei, be fruitful and multiply, goy ukahal goyim yemimecha, umilachim echalotzecha yetzeyu, kings will emerge from your loins. V'esa oretz asher nasati l'Avraham uli Yitzchak, lecha etnena ulezaracha acharecha etein et haaretz. And Yaakov translates this, shares this on his deathbed with whom? With Yosef. Because as you well know, Yaakov planned on making Yosef his successor. Not Yehuda. Yosef was supposed to be his successor. And that's why he made him the multicolored coat, and there's so much there that Yaakov was predisposed to leadership of Yosef. And he tells him, El Shaddai Nira Eli Beluz Beretz Kenan Vayivarachoti Vayomer Eli Hineni Machracha Behir Biticha Unataticha Lekalamim Venatati Et Haaretz Hazot Lizaracha Acharecha Achuzat Olam. Where is Yaakov saying? Where is Yaakov? When is Yaakov saying this to Yosef? Where is he? He's in Mitzrayim. And good. And he, Broyer will say, that the only way in which all of these promises made to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov could be realized is if they're in proper order. First, you have to be pre-urvei. Then what will happen is what? You're going to go into Israel. So the multiplying had to take place outside of Israel. Outside of Israel. And that's how he's going to explain your pasuk. That's why the Torah tells us, Ubnei Yisrael in Parsha, Ve'ele Shmot Bnei Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayma. Then, Paru Vayishvitzu Vayavar V'yatzmo Mal Mal. And what happens? That segment is now fulfilled. Now we can proceed to the next chapter that they will be in Mitzrayim, they will be enslaved. Why, he doesn't tell us right now, but then they will go from there into Eretz Yisrael. So you have this happening by Adam, to Noah, to Abraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, and to Yosef. And the Torah, look at the next, where it says, Kiyum HaBrit, in the second headline, towards the bottom 363. Kol habrachot shenitnu l'Avraham b'mamar habrit nitkaimu achakam b'miluan tchila nitkaima birchat periyah v'ribyah. And you don't have to go to Sefer Shemot. It happens right here in Sefer Bereishis. It's the last pasuk of Parshat Vayigash. The last pasuk of Parshat Vayigash. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen vayeyachuzu ba vayifru vayirbu me'od. They multiplied greatly. Yes, question.
Maybe that's just a comment, that maybe that's why Yaakov is already hinting at it when he says, I'm coming down from Mitzrayim, Lagorsha.
Correct.
No, so he doesn't say it directly.
Correct. Arami Oyved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayim, Lagorsha, only to temporarily reside.
Not to... make a statement already to his son.
Correct.
That they're not, this is not their land.
Correct. Correct. Right. And now on the bottom of 364, look at the bottom of 364, he's going to offer one statement as to why the Shibud had to take place. Why the population explosion and the development to a nation had to take place outside of Israel. Al-Pizeh, last paragraph on page 364. Al-Pizeh kvar yuvan shi Yisrael yachlu lizkot ba'artzam rak acharei shesiblu galut ve'inui b'mitzrayim. Based on this, we will understand why Am Yisrael could only be privileged to inherit their land after suffering and being in exile. Ein zu ele totza'a yeshira, it is only as a direct result, shel ha'le'umiyut ha'miyuchedet li'Yisrael. It's part of the unique qualities of Am Yisrael, shelo hitpatcha mitocha aretz, that never developed in their land, ela kodma la'aretz. V'yesh legalut u'leshibud gam siba u'mashma'ut nosefet. Shaharei ein adam yodea leha'arich matana ela imkein saval kodam lechein mehe eidara. Nobody can appreciate a gift until you what?
Yeah.
Until you recognize that I don't have it now. You long for something, you don't have it, that enables you to subsequently appreciate what you do have. There are other theories as well. That's what he claims. Fine. That's what he claims. And as such, he now, as I said, he puts bookmarks on all of Sefer Bereishit. Sefer Bereishit starts with Pruvu Milu Ta'aretz and eventually concludes with Pruvu Milu Ta'aretz, and sees this pattern developing in six occasions, noting the little differences that take place between God and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he will now explain, he doesn't say it here, but it'll fit in very well, go to chapter 6 of Sefer Shmot. Chapter 6 of Sefer Shmot. It's the beginning of Parshat Va'era. It is chapter 6, verse 3. So, what does he say? I appear to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with which name?
El Shaddai.
Ushmi Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Lo Nodati Lahem. I never made myself known. Now, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, but I can show you psukim in the Chumash where it says Vayomer Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Yes.
So their answer is, yeah, God is talking, but he didn't reveal himself. All kinds of answers. But along the line of what Breuer just developed, we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, with whom am I going to establish my name relationship as Yud Kei Vav Kei? With whom? With whom? You, Moshe. I never did it with the Avot. And that fits in well with, I told you the name of the Rav, and it, Breuer somehow would fit in very nicely as well. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always means, Rashi quotes it 50 times in Chumash, Ne'eman L'Shalem. I am trusted to what? To fulfill that which I promised. I can be trusted to fulfill. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov never saw the fulfillment. It was only Shaddai b'Havtacha. It was enough with a promise. But you, Moshe, are going to see the realization of the fulfillment of my promise. So therefore, with Moshe, another name is added. Yeah, the deliverance and taking them to the border itself, out of Egypt, Matan Torah, and then taking them to the border of Israel itself. Yes?
I'm wondering why you're picking that name instead of Aya, because, you know, that big miracle in the desert with the snap, that is such a big moment, and the name that God used...
Aya Sha'aya. Okay? I can't answer that question. Don't know. But Eyash Eya is never cited as the pasuk to indicate Ne'eman L'Shalem Sachar. Never. If you look at Rashi...
Does it always have to have Sachar in it? Is it just ne'emah.
No, no, that it's usually used. Rashi says it's ne'emah l'shalem sachar.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
That's his first name that he gives to Moshe. That is correct. But that's earlier in the Chumash. Here he's introducing. Yes.
As I was thinking, it says Hashem Elohim at a point in Bereshit, not beginning. And I was thinking maybe that's when the Yesh B'Yesh stopped. Was that when certain laws of nature are put in that will never change.
Right.
That's completed. That's when Hashem is tacked on to Elohim, and then goes back to.
Okay. I hear that. It's also a possibility. Yeah.
Which is the name of Hashem that shows He is merciful?
Also Hashem. We say that right. Mm-hmm. Elohim is Midat Adin and Hashem is Midat Rachamim.
Yes.
There are a lot of associations that are made with it. Yeah. Yes. All right. We'll stop here.
Yes.
There will be no share next week.
Oh.
Next week, no share.